Hello and welcome to Cat the Baker. I'm Chef KB. It's the day after Christmas, early morning, not that early because I slept a little bit more. It's my day off. I was off yesterday on Christmas Day. This is unheard of. What's going on? It was so nice. But let me tell you about the last couple of weeks leading up to Christmas Day. There's been a lot, and I don't know at times if I was going to make it. You know, working for the last 8 weeks, working three doubles in a row, and when I had one day off, like that was my only day off, every other day of the week, I had one or two jobs a day. So I was definitely feeling it. The students in my culinary class did a really great final. I let them make a choice of any dish they wanted. Well, first of all, it had to be an entree. It had to have tilapia, which they filleted. That was part of their final, was how to fillet a tilapia. And I graded it based on their skill and how they did it, if there was a lot of meat left, you know, on the bone itself or on the skin. So that was their first grade. And then the next day, they made an entree. It had to be with the tilapia that they filleted. And then it had to have a starch, a vegetable or a salad, and a sauce. And I tasted each and every one of them. I was so hungry. You know, I didn't eat anything because I knew that I had to taste everything and grade them. And then I started strong, you know, like they were really good dishes. So I ate more. But then I'm like, oh, I'm getting really full. I need to like only taste. So I just took a bite of everything. But by the end of it, like there are 16 students and I was so full. It was the weirdest thing though, because every one of them had different flavors, right? So that was my meal, just having a bite of 16 different dishes, trying, you know, the entree, the vegetable and the starch. I felt so weird after, because it's just every bite was something different, like the whole evening. So not the greatest dinner, but they did a really good job. Their presentation improved so much, and I was really proud of them. So I was excited that they did a really good job, and then they did a written final, and everybody passed. Everybody passed, you know, which a few weeks prior, I wasn't so sure on that they would, because it's very assignment heavy. And if they didn't do their assignments all the way through, then they definitely dropped their grade. But everyone came through and I posted their grades. The worst grade was a D, not a great grade, but that was mainly based on attendance. Everyone else, you know, came together and did a really good job. So I was excited. When it ended, when they did their finals, you know, I still worked at the other job, waking up at 4:30. But just to know that after work, you know, I have that evening off, I felt like, oh, wow, I have so much time now. You know, when it's not like I have that much time, but I could just sit at home or maybe go to the grocery store or maybe go to the movies if I wanted to. I was way too tired. But still, you know, the option was there that I could do something different. So then a week later, I found out that I got another class. It's a baking class, which is the reason I got hired, was for baking at that school, at the college. But they gave me this culinary class because there was no other class available for me, and it was just to get me in, which was great because money-wise, it saved me. It absolutely saved me. And really, it was, I want to say, like a month and a half ago that I just really feel financially like I'm not worried. Yes, I was working a lot, and I had to, and I did it. You know, I made it through, and thank God for this school. You know, because it just made me not have these other stresses, you know, so I could just focus on my work. It sucks to work all the time and never make ends meet, you know, so thankfully I was able to make that happen. So yeah, I was grateful for that. Finals for the college ended a week before Christmas, right? But then that's when everything started getting crazy at the cafe. And of course, on Christmas Eve, I was scheduled to start work at 3 a.m. So I had to wake up at like 1:50 a.m. I went to bed at 8. You know, but this messes up your whole sleep cycle. And I'm like at work, you know, at 3 a.m. And it's like, what am I doing? Like, what is happening? I'm like, please, I don't want to do this again next year. But it's funny because everyone's more on point at 3 a.m. than they are at 6 a.m. Everyone was so robotic of just doing their work. We had so many things to do. So the reason we're on at 3 a.m. on Thanksgiving and on Christmas Eve is because they want everything to be filled right as the store opens, you know, because they're expecting this rush. And this is the last day to really make money. We're like a factory, you know, down in the basement. It was so busy, and everyone had their task of getting out like 60 of each, like 60. I had to make 90 Christmas ornament desserts, which are Christmas ornaments. Like, they look like Christmas ornaments, and they're glazed with a red glaze. They've got a Rolo candy on the outside filled with caramel as the ornament hanger, so to speak. And on the inside, it's filled with a red velvet sponge, a mulled wine insert, and a mascarpone vanilla bean mousse. And it sold pretty well. I think the main reason that it was a Christmas ornament helped. You know, so I had to make 90 of these. And of course, we have to prep and be able to have enough, right, to sell. We're selling these until New Year's. So I have another almost week of making sure we have enough of those. But everyone was like a machine, you know, just cranking out all this product that we had made a few days prior, like trying to build it up, trying to have enough. It was crazy. So much product of everything. But we did it. You know, we were super smooth on that day and we made it happen, which, considering for how small our team is for all the things we make, and considering how unorganized it's been, especially, you know, when I started, we really came together, we made it happen, and then we did a secret Santa, right? Because a few weeks prior, everybody was assigned a secret Santa, but nobody knew whose their Santa was, obviously. That's why it's secret. So after everything went out, you know, we did the secret Santa and gave everyone their gift. And it was such a nice moment. You know, people weren't talking trash about one another. People weren't upset. And it was just like, oh, good. We did it. We did a good job. And now we can open this gift. And now we can go home and like sleep, you know? So that's what I did. I went home. I was thinking, okay, after work, maybe I'll see the Christmas tree downtown. Maybe I'll go to this Grand Central Market, which is, it's like this four-story food court in downtown LA, which I haven't been to yet, and I really want to see. But, you know, in my mind, I'm like, oh, I can do these things because now I have time. But in reality, I end work, and I'm like, oh, I have, like, no energy. I just want to go home, take a bath, and then go to bed. And that's what I did. I went home. I took a bath. It was perfect because as a secret Santa, someone gave me bath bombs. And they gave me like this cheese board with three different cheeses and a blackberry jam. What else did I get? I think like there were cheese knives in there, which is funny because a year ago, I sold some of these things, or less than a year ago. You know, I had this cheese dome with these cheese knives, and I sold it because I never used it. And here I am. Now I have another cheese board. A little less fancy, but still, you know, it's like, it was just really nice. So I was given these bath bombs. I got home. I took a perfect bath. The tub I have is straight. You know how, I don't know if you take a lot of baths, most people don't anymore, but I like to, you know. That's the reason when I was looking at apartments, I didn't just want a shower. I wanted the option of a bath. Even if I don't take a lot of baths, I want the option. But there are bathtubs that are slanted down for your back. Most of them now are straight. Like they just go straight, which is not good for your back, but it saves space because most bathrooms are small these days, right? Especially in the US. Everything's getting smaller, apartments are getting smaller, but everything's getting more expensive. Does that make sense? No. Anyway, my bath is flat for the back. So I bought this special lumbar silicone pillow that you put in your tub, and it's amazing. So, because I have a regular pillow for my neck, and then I needed this lumbar pillow so I can take amazing baths. I was in this tub, and I just took a nap for like 20 minutes. It was amazing. And I've just been thinking about the last 8 weeks. I'm like, I can't believe I did this for 8 weeks. Like, 8 weeks doesn't seem like a huge amount of time, but it definitely adds up. You know, it's not a small amount of time, but it's not a really long amount of time. You know, it's enough to be like, oh, this is a lot. But then before you know it, oh, it's over. You know, so anyway, the baking class is 2 days a week. This one was 4 days a week. So the baking class is in the middle of the day. It starts at 2 a.m. No, it starts at 2 p.m. Excuse me. See, that's how I'm like, my brain is all crazy with time. It starts at 2 p.m. till like 6 p.m. So it's in the middle of the day. I can't have another job, right? So I'm going to have to switch my schedule or do something. I don't know. But I'm happy I have a class. So that's good. And then that day, I tried to take a nap after the bath, and I just laid there because my body, first of all, it's like 3 p.m. or 2 p.m., something like that. And my body's like, no, you're not falling asleep right now. Like, this is not the time to fall asleep. So I was just laying there. And then I decided, okay, I'm going to go have some Thai food. And I went to the movie theater, and I saw this movie called Housemaids, which is like some twisted kind of psychological thriller, which I thought was really good. I couldn't watch at a couple parts. It was either that or Avatar, but I didn't want to watch a movie for 3.5 hours at that point. You know, it was risky that I could fall asleep. But anyway, I had a really nice time just relaxing and doing random things that I wanted to do other than work. And then the next day, it was Christmas Day. I went over to some friends who live about 40 minutes away. They have this beautiful house. Of course, it's been raining the last 4 days. You know, so it's great weather to just watch movies and be inside. But I had a lovely Christmas day. In the morning, I woke up, I called like my family. My brother sent me this gift card for this French restaurant, which is only 8 minutes away. I've never been, but it was very nice. So I'm going to go there. I have my fake tree, my fake Christmas tree with all my beautiful ornaments, food ornaments mainly. And because it's fake, I have this candle that smells like real Christmas tree. So I light the candle, and then maybe 20 minutes later, I'm like, oh, this smells like real Christmas tree, you know, so that's great. And I cleaned my apartment. I watched a Christmas movie. It was Love Actually, which is still a really good movie, you know, even though it's quite old at this point, but it's still really nice. Except for that part, you know, the best friend who loves his best friend's wife. Like, that part is weird to me. You know, when he shows up at her house and writes the signs and the messages. And just like that, he's like, enough now, enough. You know, he's just like controlling it. Like, now that's it. He's let it out. But I feel like that makes it worse. I don't know. Like, can you do that and just be like, enough, and that's it? I don't know if I could do that. If you know what I'm talking about, then you know. But anyway, I watched Love Actually. I had this really nice breakfast. I made my own coffee. I foamed my milk. I had scrambled eggs on half a croissant with Gruyere cheese. And I was just sitting there and enjoying it. I went out in my garden. It's been stormy. So I cleaned up my garden, you know, which, so my garden is not real grass, it's carpet. It's like, it's a grass carpet. I don't know if I've ever talked about this. It's better than concrete, you know, and I've made it nice with my plants. I've put my tile path in there. It's a carpet. Okay, so whatever falls on there, I have a lot of bushes and a lot of trees. So I get leaves that fall on there and like some sort of berries, you know, because there's a lot of trees where the birds pick berries from. So I get a lot of like garden trash, so to speak, you know. So I'm always sweeping my carpet, you know. And so I did that. It made me feel very productive. And I just like being in my garden. I live in the middle of the city. You know, I live right by a main street. Not super ideal, you know, but because I live on a main street, obviously there's a lot of traffic. There's, you know, I mean, some sketchy people around. But my garden is raised on the second floor, right? It's not on the ground level. So there's a certain amount of privacy, which is nice. Unless you have weirdos, right? Like, which I did a couple episodes ago, which I talked about. But anyway, so far, everything's been good after that. No issues. So I spent time in my garden. You know, I'm collecting rainwater. I have all these coolers sitting out so I can continue watering my plants when the rain goes away. I just spent the morning by myself. It was really nice. And then in the afternoon, I went to see my friends. We spent Christmas together. They had a few other people come over. And my friend made a prime rib, you know, which is very meaty, like major meat, more on the rare side, but I had the ends. That was okay. It was very tasty. Everything tasted really good. There was mashed potatoes. There was this mac and cheese, these like roasted veggies. And then for dessert, I brought tiramisu and like this cake from the cafe I work at, but it was like leftover. I know that doesn't sound very good, but it was the ends. So when we make these layered cakes, and we cut them into triangles, we can't use the end pieces, and they're quite large pieces. So I brought those pieces. It was a pistachio cake, which is very tasty. And then one of their other guests made a lemon tart, which was delicious because the crust had a certain amount of saltiness, and it wasn't overly sweet. And the lemon tart filling was made with Meyer lemons, so it wasn't very sour. It wasn't too sweet. It was really delicious. So I really liked that. And he made a pear tatin, which is usually a puff pastry. So you make a caramel, you put it in the dish, you lay your fruit over it. It's normally apples, but you can use any type of fruit. In this case, it was pears. And then you lay the puff pastry or any kind of pastry on top of that. You bake it. And then when it's done, you flip it. And the caramel like goes over the fruit. And it's a really... it's a simple but really delicious dessert. So this person made a pear tatin and it was delicious. So obviously I'm super full, eating way too much. I had a little bit of wine, had a little eggnog, you know, all these things, right? But it was really nice. And I laughed a lot, like we said a lot of jokes. They said I could stay over because at this point it was like 10, 10:30. And I said, no, I'm off tomorrow. I want to wake up in my own bed. So that's what I did, you know. And today I'm actually getting a Thai massage, which I really, really need. I need somebody to walk on my back that knows what they're doing. And I want to see Avatar. So that's my plan for the day, which basically is the whole day because the movie is so long. But it's a me day, which I'm excited about because then tomorrow I have to work and I'm not off New Year's Eve. But that's okay. I'm okay with that. Everything's fine. I am planning a trip to Morocco. I'm planning that. It's a 7-day tour. So I would fly to Spain. And from Spain, there's a small flight to Morocco. And then it lists all these places you go to. Then you go back to Spain. And from there, I would fly back to the US. So that's my goal because in January, there are less shifts. You know, it tends to be slower. So they're fine with it. They're fine with me going somewhere because then they have to like pay less, right? Like they're good. I want to do that because February, then I start with the baking job. So we'll see. We'll see if all of that works. On the other side of it are emotional things, right? That's always the other side of the coin. A lot has been happening with that. But who am I kidding? A lot of that is always happening with all of us. We just have to acknowledge it. We have to acknowledge our emotions. We can't sit on them because that doesn't make it better. You know, so as I said in my last episode, I set a date for the divorce and I send it to my ex. At first, there was no response, you know, but then he's like, yeah, let's do it. Let's get divorced. The reason I did it was because I don't want to be in limbo, right? I want to know what's going on. I want to be able to move on. If this is over, let me move on. So I set the date because I wasn't hearing anything. You know, we're just living our lives. We're separated. He's doing his thing. I'm doing my thing. Yet we're still married on paper, you know, and that's not what I want. I don't want that. You know, I want a real relationship with somebody who wants to be with me. Yes, like that's the truth of it, right? I set the divorce date and I said, let's meet at the courthouse, file the paperwork, and then that's it. You know, and I even called the courthouse and I set the time. And then they said, you don't both have to show up at the courthouse, you know, because, I mean, most couples don't even want to see each other, right? Like, that are getting divorced. There's a reason they're getting divorced. I didn't want to pay the whole fee. I didn't want to send everything back and forth. I don't have a lawyer. And I wanted him to fill out his things, me to fill out my things. We split the payment. We make the copies. And that's it, you know? And he was in agreement of that. He said, yes, that's fine. Let's do that. I'm like, okay, you know, so I filled everything out like a robot, right? Because when I have a task, I'm really good at that. I'm really good at fulfilling my task, whatever that may be, you know, and I put like mind over matter and I just do it, right? Like that's with anything. I'm really good at that. But then I look at this stack of papers. You know, and I call the courthouse and I say, like, you know, they all have different numbers, right? Like family law 800, you know, so it's FL 800, FL 700, like all these different numbers, you know. So the courthouse is saying you need FL 800, you need like, and he's going through all these numbers that I need. And at this point, he's saying even more numbers that I didn't even have, right? And he's like, you need the cover page, you need FL 100, you need da 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 da. And I'm like, what? Like, I have this, 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 this. And now you're saying I also need this. He's like, yes, the court won't take it if you don't have this. So now I'm printing out more, right? And I need a summons, which means I can't give the papers to my ex, right? Someone has to give them to him. It's illegal for me to give them to him. Like someone else has to do it, a third party member, or you pay somebody to do it. So then there's that, right? So I asked my friend and like all these different things. And then I was sitting there, right? I filled out this huge stack of papers and I don't even know if I have all the right ones. And it's pretty much all the same stuff, right? But the point is, I don't want what he has. He doesn't want what I have. We already like did all this, right? Everything's already taken care of pretty much. We just need it to be over. So I'm looking at the stack of papers and I just, I can't stop crying. I can't stop crying because I don't want to be divorced. Like, does that sound messed up or what? Like, I don't want to be divorced from him. And after I did it, after I filled it all out, I was like, finally done, like done. You know, I was like, okay, good. I can like move on. This is done. When like everything settled, I realized, well, I still love him. I still love him. Like these 7 months, I've been through so many different phases, a lot of anger, you know, and just different phases. Like we process, right? We process in small moments. You let that sink in, right? And then you process the next thing. You let that sink in. And we have reactions based on all these things we process, right? One day we're sad, one day we're angry, one day we're at peace about it, right? And it keeps going through all these different motions with everything in life that we go through. You know, and the key thing is that we process it, right? We can be in denial about it and sit on it and be angry and nothing ever changes. But I could not stop crying. My face was puffy, my eyes were red, like. And I was asking myself, why am I crying? Like, why am I crying? Why is this so overwhelming for me? Because the first time I got divorced, I was so excited. I celebrated, right? At the time, I was with my mom. I think we went out for sushi. Like, every celebration, we'd go out for sushi. Like, that was our thing. I was so happy it was finally over, you know? And through the whole divorce process, I never saw him. He got a lawyer. There was a whole custody battle with the dog that we had. It was a mess. It took a year and a half. And, you know, I didn't want his money. I didn't want anything. I just wanted to be done with him. And I know what that feels like. I know what that feels like. And in this case, it was not that. It was not that, you know? Yes, I want to move on if that's where it's at, right? I want something that is, like, fair to me, you know? And somebody who gives as much as he takes, right? Because a relationship is a give and take. And I know that in this process of being single again, technically, right? I don't have problems finding men, okay? Like, I'm not lonely. I'm not, you know, I'm good. Like, I feel attractive, which is a big deal, because in the process of relationships ending, in the process of divorce, there's a lot where you put a lot of blame on yourself and you don't feel good about yourself, right? Like, I did gain weight. I felt like it was me. I felt like it was me that wasn't enough, you know? Like, what was I doing wrong, right? Like, you put that blame on yourself. And through this whole thing, I realized, well, it wasn't me. Right? I know that I gave everything that I could, and maybe too much, right? Because when you know that things are falling apart, you kind of overdo it, maybe. And it's hard to say, because in that moment, you just do what you can, right? You don't want it to end, or I didn't. And maybe you cross your own border. So yeah, maybe I was in desperation at the end. I don't know, but I could totally see that being the case. And the more I gave, the more he pushed back, right? And kind of just disappeared. And then when it was over, he wanted to talk. He wanted to call me. Instead of talking before he left, right? Instead of trying to solve it before he left, or just communicating. But he couldn't. He wasn't there emotionally to be able to do that. He just needed to be by himself. He just needed to be gone, right? And that left me in this terrible state. I was just a wreck, and I didn't understand it for the life of me. I did not understand it, because in my mind, I feel like there's always another way. There's always a way to talk things through, you know? And this is different minds, different people, right? And having distance from that, you know, after I went through moving and after I went through my financial stress and just being okay the last couple months, right? I've had time to reflect, you know, and be like, well, what was the reason, really? You know, why did it get to this point? I'm seeing things more from my point of view, right? When I knew it wasn't working out, what I did to try and get closer, which only made him pull away, because he just needed more space. You know, he was seeing that I was becoming unhappy, and that made him feel guilty. And it was just like this, one didn't help the other, you know, and it was just this cycle. Yeah, like the last couple months, I feel like just asked myself, well, why am I not over him? Why do I still love him? You know, like, is it like a need to just feel like not wanted, or is it a need, like my patterns of finding men that avoid situations and not talk emotionally, or I don't know, you know? So I've been asking myself all these questions, because once you have your life, once you're away from the relationship, you feel a certain way, you know? And in my heart, it's been 7 months and I still love him. And it's not, you know, because in the back of my head, I'm like, well, what if this were to happen again? You know, what if the same thing happens? I mean, there's a risk of that for sure. But we are both not those same people, right? It wasn't a long time ago. It's only been 7 months. But in that time, I know that I have seen more of myself, right? And how I am in situations. Like, I've learned more about myself in this time. I've learned to give myself more patience. I've learned to give myself more boundaries, right? So with other men that I meet, it's not just, I'm not just doing what's convenient for them. You know, if they don't step up, if they don't show me that they're interested or a certain level of trying to show me they're interested, well, okay, then that's it. You know, I'm not changing my boundaries to make somebody else feel good, right? Like, does it feel good for me, right? So I'm asking myself these questions first. You know, like, why would I give this person a second chance? And what are the reasons? And, you know, because I've been in the past very, like, I bend myself for other people, you know, and even if they don't treat me right, you know, and I still give them second chances. I mean, that's like patterns of abuse, right? Like, that's patterns of, okay, you can do whatever you want with me. I'm still there, you know, and that's messed up. So I've been, seeing that, you know, and I've been only allowing people in that deserve my time and my effort. And that's the same with any type of friendship or any type of boyfriend or relationship, whatever it may be, you know. But this time has been important for me to just check in with myself. And I think we should all do that, right? But in the process of life, we get carried away. You know, we want to be the perfect wife, the perfect mother, what have you, right? But then do you ever ask yourself these questions? Like, why am I doing this? Why am I feeling this? You know, what is going on, right? So as I'm crying and looking at these papers, I'm asking myself, why am I feeling this way? Like, why am I not relieved or happy? Like, what's going on, you know? And I just feel as if I'm not done with him. Like, I feel like there's a potential there that we never got to. You know, I feel like if we made it through this, whatever this was, that beyond that, there is something more, you know, and I don't think it's my wish for it. I feel it. And I don't know what that is. I don't know what that feeling is, but I know there's more and I can't put my finger on it. You know, and it's not my need for trying to fix things, right? Because I've asked myself that. I don't know what it is, but I have a feeling that there's something else and I can't describe it. And if that sounds weird, maybe it is. But I know that we all have feelings about certain things and people, and it's not mental. It's not why we choose the people we do, right? There's something that draws us to them. And in this case, I don't feel that I'm finished with him, okay? Because I know what that feels like. I have comparisons. Every time I texted him or messaged him, which is our main way to communicate about anything, he always felt that I was angry. And a lot of times I was, you know, so that's not wrong. So I messaged him and I said, can I call you? I need to talk to you, because I don't want him reading this, right? Like, already, if you think someone's angry, you read a message with an angry tone, it sounds different. Even if the person's not angry, even if they're messaging and it's not angry, right? So I said, I need to talk to you, like, in person. So we talk and I say, like, I filled all this out, you know, I made the appointment. And I said, what if we try it again? You know, what if I still love you? And what if we try and work it through? You know, could that be an option, or is that crazy? You know, and then he's like, I don't understand. He's like, we've had all this time and you wouldn't talk to me. And I said, well, I couldn't talk to you. You know, I said, I still loved you. And I couldn't talk to you because you wanted to talk to me after you left. I did not understand, and it made it harder for me. You know, like, I couldn't talk to you. You know, and we kind of explained, but, you know, when you're set about something in your head, you don't necessarily listen about what someone is saying to you in that moment, right? Because it was very surreal, right? After 7 months, here I am, like, saying this to him. And I said, I still love you. You know, I said, I'm not trying to continue what we had. Like, what if we just talk more, you know? And I think I believe there's something more. I see something more than we've had. You know, obviously, you know, I don't think he got it. But anyway, he was at a job. He was working, and he said, can we talk about this another time? You know, so we talked, I think the next day or the day after, something like that. And he said to me, like, he basically ignores everything that I said that day. Like, he heard it, but he didn't respond to it, right? Like, he just said, I still love you as well. But then the next conversation we had, it's like he ignored all of what I said. And then he said, okay, I'm coming to meet you at the courthouse. I printed up my documents. I had like a tear because for me, that's like the answer, right? Like, that's his answer. He doesn't want to try again. He wants to get divorced. And I said, okay, so everything I said the other day, you know, that doesn't, like, you don't want that. He's like, we've had all this time. And he's like, I think it's best if we just fill out the paperwork and move on. And I said, okay. So I will see you on Monday. Da-da-da, right? And that was it. So I message him, like, I leave work early. You know, it was like 2 days before Christmas Eve, like super busy. I went into work early so I could leave earlier. And I drove in. Usually I take the metro, but I drove in so I could get back home early. I get home, like, I, you know, I wake up at like 3 a.m. Like, I I do everything. I get back. And he messages me saying, you know, should we meet at a Denny's? Like, it's in between, I guess, my apartment and the courthouse. We can fill the stuff out at Denny's. And I'm like, Denny's? I said, well, I just got home. I need to change. Why don't you just come to my apartment? And then he's like, he's fasting, so he's not going to eat at Denny's. So I don't think Denny's wants us to fill out paperwork, right? Like, no restaurant wants that. So I said, come to my apartment. Okay. So he's like, I'm 5 minutes away. I'm like, oh my God. Okay, 5 minutes. Meanwhile, I have to change, right? I didn't want to look like a mess. Like, I just got out of work. I wanted to look like nice, right? I quickly straightened out my bed, like, you know, did like a quick check of the apartment because he hasn't seen my apartment, right? He helped me move and it was just boxes, right? Now everything has to look nice, right? I have to look nice. Everything has to look good, right? He gets there and it's, I have a gate by my door, right? It's locked. So I have to walk out, unlock it, and I see him. And he's like super smiley, you know, and I'm like, hi, and we hug. And he can't stop like hugging me. And it was nice. Like, it was nice. I missed him. I missed his hugs. And it was just fuck. What the fuck? So he comes into my apartment. You know, like, this is not a typical divorce situation. Right? Like, you don't see each other when you're divorcing and you're super happy and you're hugging and you can't stop hugging. Like, this is not a normal divorce, okay? Like, in my head, I'm so confused, right? So he comes into my apartment and he's like, oh my God, I love it. He walks around. he's like excited to see all the things that he recognizes, right? Because I have the same furniture, same art, right? All this stuff. It's just decorated differently because it's a different layout. So he's walking around my whole apartment, you know, and he's like, oh, I'm excited to see all the things. Like, I recognize, like, he's just doing his own tour. I'm like, okay. And, you know, I put on like a dress, like I looked good, right? I didn't want to be in these work clothes. So he's like, you look great. He's like, you know, you look skinny. And I'm like, I don't look skinny, but I did lose some weight, you know, and I'm mainly because I've been working so much that I've been eating less. I think that's the main reason. And just like being busy, right? And I think having a different kind of stress, like when my stress is not emotional stress, I tend to lose weight. Okay, so this way I know, okay, I'm getting healthier. When I'm in a relationship and I start to gain weight, that's when I realize, okay, there's a lot of emotional stress. You know, like I've been through enough that I know this about my body at this point. And it was the same with us, right? Like when there was more emotional stress, I gained weight and I wasn't eating. It wasn't that. It was just like this emotional mess inside of me. You know, so he's like, you look great. And he's like, you look skinny. And I'm like, okay, thank you. I don't look skinny, but okay. He's like, I promise you, you look different. I'm like, okay, like, thank you, right? Like, this is positive for me. He's like, I love the apartment. And he sits in the kitchen and he pulls out all his paperwork. And he's like, okay, let's go through the paperwork. And in my head, I'm like, this is so twisted. This is so twisted. Like, we're excited to see each other, and now we're going through paperwork because we're about to get divorced, right? It's like 3 hours before we get divorced and meet with a clerk at the courthouse. So I filled everything out, right? And he, like, is just casually filling some things out. Like, he hasn't even filled out all of his paperwork. And I'm thinking, what is going on? Like, what? Why hasn't he even filled it out? It's like he was looking at what I filled out and kind of basing it on that, because he doesn't want anything that I have. I don't want anything, you know, that he has. And we're just like filling it out because, I don't know. I guess he wanted to make it easier for himself. Like, he wasn't really stressing. I don't know. But we're going through all the different like family law numbers, right? And he's like, what about this one? What about this one? So we're going through it. And as he's filling it out, like, I'm just watching him. I'm across the table from him in the kitchen and I'm watching him. And I'm like, I keep like leaning towards things, you know, I'm like saying to him, this is not a normal divorce situation. You know, like most people who get divorced, they don't meet. All right. They don't hug. They don't act this way. And he's like, well, most people are stupid. He's like, it would be so much easier if everyone just, you know, had this kind of relationship when they got divorced. And I'm like, what? And I said, so you want to get divorced? And he's like, what are you saying? And I said, well, what I said the other day. You know, I said, like, I still love you. What if we try? Like, what if we try? I said, we can always get divorced. These papers aren't going anywhere, right? And they're valid for another 2 months. You know, what if we just talk? Just talk to each other and kind of build a connection. And he's like, well, you didn't want to talk to me. You've been angry at me. You didn't want to talk to me. And I've been trying to talk to you. And I said, because I couldn't. I could not talk to you. I still love you. I could not talk to you. If you don't want to be with me and I want to be with you, like, what's there to talk about? You know, like, in that moment when you're angry, I could not talk to him. I needed to just, like, be by myself and reassess, right? Just like he needed to be by himself when he left. And I said, I did not understand your reasons for leaving, you know? And for the first time, I know that he's tried before, but it did not come across. I did not hear what he was saying. I could not understand it. I don't know why. Maybe it's in the way that he was expressing it. It wasn't in the way that I could understand. And he tried to explain, you know, why why he left, what he was feeling, what he's going through. And for the first time, I heard what he was saying. And it, like, I said, I swear to you, you did not explain it this way before. You know, and in this time, he's had a therapist. He's changed, right? He's learned more about himself. And he did not understand that I did not understand him before, you know? And I said, we both talk in different ways. We both go through things in different ways. I want to understand you. You know, I want us to understand each other. And I said, I still love you. We still care about each other. And he said, yes, yes, we do. We care about each other. He's like, I promise you, I care about you. And I know he did, right? Because through this whole time, he paid me what I asked him. You know, he paid the car loan. He gave me the money that I needed to feel okay. He helped me when these people tried to get into my yard, and he got somebody to fix the fence and all these things. I know he cares about me, and I know he wants the best for me. Like, I know that. It was in the process that I wasn't so sure, because he easily could have screwed me. He easily could have not paid the van payment, right? That's in my name for his business. And it would have messed up my credit score. Like, all these things, right? If he wanted to spite me, he could have. Multiple times. And he didn't. He never did. And for me, that was like, okay. Like, he cares about me. You know, and obviously I have trust issues, right? I have a past where someone was trying to spite me. Someone was not having my best interests at heart, right? And mostly when you get divorced, that's how it is. You know, I'm sure in the least amount of cases, it's like people love each other and they care about each other and they get divorced. Because when you feel this way about somebody, you don't get divorced. Like, that's just how it is. I said, I see how you acted the past few months, like the past 7 months. And I said, like, I don't want what we had. I want us to rebuild, and I want us to talk to each other and communicate and be there for each other. You know, I'm not asking for like romance right away. I'm asking for a connection. I guess I'm asking for a friendship before anything else, because we never had that when we first met. We went straight to, you know, romance, lust, right? Like all these things. And we got married so quickly. We don't have this base. You know, and he was going through, like, as he was explaining, like, he was upset and he was opening up and we were holding hands and in between I was hugging him and it was just like this deep connection that we never even had when we were married. You know, we had moments of it, but it was more of we were trying to make each other just feel better, right, when we were married. And we were trying to solve each other's problems. And in this case, we're not trying to solve. We're just talking. And we're being there for each other. And I think that's what it should have been the whole time. You know, but we both put pressure on ourselves, right? Like, I didn't want this to fail. So I put pressure on myself because I've already had a failed marriage. He put pressure on himself because this was just a fast. Everything was fast, right? Moving in together was fast. Marrying was fast, right? So we both had this pressure to be the perfect wife, perfect husband, you know. And I did all the right things from the outside, right? Everything looked as if this was all the right things because I wanted it to be the best it could be. But behind it, there was all this emotional stuff that we never talked about. I never talked to him about this pressure I was feeling, right? My previous marriage, and I didn't want to go all into it because then maybe he feels pressure because I feel this way. You know, it's like one thing builds up to the next. So in this moment, I don't want anything from him. He doesn't want anything from me, like, you know, whatever, materialistic. I have my own life. I have my apartment. I'm safe. He has his place. He has his money, whatever. He's safe, right? We want nothing from each other except we love each other, and that's real, and that's, like, pure. You know, so why couldn't we rebuild? Is there a chance for a complete failure? Yes, of course. But is there also a chance for something new with a person that you know and love? I mean, why not? I mean, people say never go back to your ex, but each case is individual for each person. And how you feel is not cookie cutter. And I don't think it's not that I can't let go, because at this point, I don't feel pressure. I said, these papers don't expire, you know, in like 60 days. Let's talk. Let's just connect and talk to each other and see how we feel. And I said, we can always get a divorce. And he's like, why are we deciding this like 2 hours or an hour and a half before we have to be there? I said, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We have an appointment with a clerk. That's the clerk's job. They do this all day. They don't care about us. Okay? We care about each other. This is our life. And why can't we do this? You know, it's not crazy if we both see something in each other, if there's still something there. And he took my hand and he said, okay. And he said, the truth is, he's going through this like emotional stuff and he doesn't know how to react. And he said, you know, he said, I'm not perfect. Like I'm not cured from whatever this is that I have. I said, well, nobody's perfect. I'm not asking for you to be cured. Like whatever that means. Like none of us are cured, right? Like we have our crap. We have our issues and we try and go through it. You know, and you're with each other for support. It's not like any of us are cured, you know? And I said, I just like want us to talk and connect and see if there is a chance. I canceled the appointment online. I said, it's canceled. He's like, okay. And he left his papers with my papers. They're in this huge paper pile. Like we have a giant paper pile here. He left it in my apartment. And then we went out to lunch. we went to this conveyor sushi. It was right by me, actually. Not that far. I'd been to one once, but this was very funny because you sat at a counter, there's a conveyor belt, and all this sushi's going by. But you can also order quickly, like on the screen. You know, and everything you touch makes sounds. It's like very cartoony. Like this whole place. And it was like the complete opposite of everything that we had just gone through. Like, from that, all right, like he drove 3 hours for this divorce thing from San Diego. And then we're filling it out, right? Like we're talking for like 2 hours and filling it out and all this stuff. And now we're at a sushi conveyor belt place for lunch. You know, when we walked in, like, there's no people anywhere. Everything's digital, right? So we put our names in. It says it's like an hour wait. And we're super hungry. Like, we haven't eaten. And he's like, oh my God, an hour. I said, let me go in. Let me see if it's the real wait. So I go in. And the guy, like the host, whatever, says, actually, you can sit right now. So I go out and I call him in. And it's like, we have a spot right now. He's like, oh my God, right now. You know, so we're laughing. And we're sitting at this counter, all these like noises, right? Like you punch a screen and it's like, beep, 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 like just all these cartoony noises going through what we just went through, right? And here we are eating sushi, being excited because just this conveyor belt, right? Like all these different sushis. I'm like, oh my God, that looks good. And he's picking this, I'm picking that. And we'd never been to one of these. Like, I don't know how it works. But there's a slot where you put your empty plates and there's a plate counter. Like all the plates that you put in, they're being counted. And for each plate, it's $4.10. You know, and these plates aren't like huge. They've got like 2 pieces, 3 pieces, whatever it may be. And then we pick a couple more things. I think we had like 27 plates or something ridiculous. 17, 20, I don't know, it was a lot. It was a lot of plates. And he was so excited when the plates were empty to just put them in the slot. He's like, oh my God, clean, it's clean. Like, so we never actually counted the plates. A person came in next to us and sat next to us and kind of gave us tips, you know, because we were asking each other questions about certain things, like, you know, and she's like, well, you collect all your plates so you can look at them and add them up and see how much you owe. Because she came in and got one thing of ramen for $4, and that was her whole meal. We ended up getting like 20-something plates. It ended up being over $100. Like, I think it was like 120, something like that. And we're looking at each other like, what just happened? You know, like, we were so hungry. And I think a lot of it was just, yes, we were hungry, but it was also somehow something got solved. Like, it's not solved between us, but something has changed, you know? And maybe there was like something positive there, right? Like, the way we were together was good. We're joking, we're laughing, we're enjoying food, you know, and then we're super full because we ate too much, you know, and then we walk into this mall because it was part of the mall. He goes into this clothes store. He's like trying on a couple clothes and he's showing me what it looks like. And I'm like, we're so not divorced. Like, whatever is going on, I don't know. But I know there's more. And my gut is correct. And it's okay. I haven't told any of my friends because it's between us, right? It's not about when things go bad, right? Like, you tell your friends, like, you're a mess, you don't understand. And the whole situation wasn't great, you know? So, of course, my friends are on my side, right? Because you don't just do that. You don't just leave. You don't just walk out. When you're married, everyone has opinions, right? But it's not about my friends. It's about what you feel inside of you and what the person you're with feels. It's about the two of you, right? It's about us. I've just been messaging him. He's been messaging me and just checking in with each other. You know, I'll send a random picture of something, like probably food. Everything's always food. Or my garden, or, you know, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. Like, just reconnecting. In the simplest ways, you know? And I was hoping, because I had 2 days off, like for Christmas, I was hoping that maybe he would come and we could spend Christmas together, you know? Because Christmas for me it's special and it's romantic and it's nice to just sit and be inside with the person you want to be with. But the thing is, this just happened on Monday. And today it's Friday. I mean, a lot happened this week in our development. We're just open to talk to each other. We call each other maybe once a day, sometimes every other day. I mean, again, it's been a week. Not even. It's just small steps. That's all. Just to get to know each other and communicate and build something and trust each other again, you know, and go from there. I'm still doing my things. I'm still traveling. We're still living life, but maybe there's something else too. And that's all we can do. That's all anyone can do, because things that matter, things that mean something, aren't built overnight. You can't rush things. You can't rush feelings. I think that is a lesson for me, because I am so impatient. I do want things now. But this is important to me. And I want something that lasts. Okay, I'm not just looking for, oh, this didn't work out. Okay, let's get divorced and move on to the next thing. Okay, I mean, there's a lesson in everything if you look at it close enough. I know how I feel, and I think that is most important. You know, looking at how you feel and not ignoring that, you know. I'd rather try and make it work versus just ending it just because. So I think that's important. I think it's important to acknowledge those feelings, and even though you've started the process, even though you've made an appointment, you know, but I made those things because I needed an answer. I didn't just want to keep floating on, you know, and not knowing, just being in limbo. It's like either we try or I have a definite answer and it's over. You know what I mean? I think that's fair. I think, why not? I mean, life is a series of all of these events. And with every event, we feel something, we want something, we need something. My feelings for him have not passed. So I'm going with that. I'm going with that. And I know it's easy maybe for friends or for you to say, well, you know, he did this and this and this. Just move on. It's bad. It's bad to stay or try again. Again, each case is different. I want to see where this goes. Happy New Year, because that's coming up quickly as well. Here's to positivity in 2026 and looking inside yourself and really asking yourself what feels right for you. Not for those around you, not for family or friends, to you. You're the one who has to live your life. You're the one who has to deal with your own emotions. So in the end, yes, these people can support you and lift you up when you need it, but you can also help yourself and make these decisions. And sure, maybe it's unpredictable. Maybe it doesn't even make sense. But things in the heart never make sense mentally. You know, and I'm really good at separating the two. I'm really good at doing that. And I want to stop. I want to just stop being in this robot mode, you know, and just realize, put the mind and the heart together. Be more in sync with my own emotions, with my life. And I think maybe then I maybe won't be as crazy. You know, like always having so many thoughts in my head. But just trying to be more in sync with myself. What is it that I want? What is it that I need? And really communicating that, you know, and being with somebody who can also communicate like that. And maybe we can get there. That's my hope. And I'm going to try. So thank you so much for listening. I'm Chef KB. Until next time.